Stars twinkle above a river snaking through an idyllic valley that winds its way past a fairy tale castle with needle-like turrets, a flag fluttering from its topmost pinnacle. Fireworks explode above it. An arc of stardust forms a halo around the castle that sits on the edge of the water. Beneath it, in silvery letters, the word Disney. Disney Toon Studios. An atoll of tall green hills.
Look high in the sky on this Neverland night for a glowing green star, the fourth from the right. As it falls from the heavens and streaks through the air, you'll know it's a comet, a sight strange and rare. A harmless display? A treat for the eye? Perhaps, but be careful, for appearances lie. This comet you see has been here before. The ancients described it in old fairy lore. Beware the green tail as it trails alongside and spills into corners where shadows abide. Take heed and you'll know that before the dawn breaks, deep down in the darkness, something awakes.
A green light glows in the darkness and vanishes. In golden letters, the title, Tinkerbell and the Legend of the Netherbeast. Bright red autumn leaves pass by as copperhead fawn swoops up into the sky. She's joined by a pair of dragonflies over a marshy pond. Three rabbits look up as she passes overhead. Bluebirds flutter around her as she rolls over in midair. Followed by her posse of seven bluebirds, Fawn soars above the pink clouds. All the creatures of the forest watch her graceful passage through the air. She flies down towards Tinkerbell, who's on the ground in Pixie Hollow, pulling a big green basket on a small cart.
Oh, Tink, it's perfect!
Just like you ordered, Fawn. One extra large wagon. But what's it for? I mean, why all the mystery?
I just love how your mind's always working. I can take it from here.
Baby ducklings, or baby bunnies. It's a movable nursery, right?
Bullseye! Can't get a thing past you, Tink. Well, anyway, catch you later.
You're up to something.
Who, me? Never.
Yep, you definitely are. I know that look. I invented that look. What's the wagon for?
Okay, just... try not to scream. Deal?
Fawn shows Tink inside her tree trunk home, where they're met with a giant baby bird.
Shh! No deal!
It's okay, Hannah. Tink's with me.
You have a...
deep breath in.
Hawk!
Yep.
Fawn, hawks eat fairies.
Oh, adult hawks, yes. Hannah's still technically a baby. That whole must-eat fairy urge hasn't quite kicked in yet.
She doesn't look so babyish to me.
Well, she was when I brought her here. She had a bad wing, but I fixed her up.
And Hannah now... flaps her mended wings.
Wings all better.
You can't have a hawk in Pixie Hollow. What if the scouts find out?
That's where the blueberry wagon comes in. We just have to get Hannah out to where she belongs without causing, you know, widespread panic.
A little later, Tink and Fawn pull the cart loaded with a mountain of juicy blueberries.
Good job!
Fawn puts her ear close to the green basket.
Shh. You're doing great, Hannah. Hang tight until we're in the clear. Are you sure about this, Fawn?
Remember, we're just taking berries to the forest. Nothing to it.
But don't berries usually come from the forest?
For a second, Fawn is flummoxed.
Everything will be fine.
just fly casual.
Exactly how often do you do this kind of thing?
Come on.
Animals dive into their little homes as the fairy cart approaches.
Fawn, just keep smiling.
A chipmunk scuttles off.
See, Tink, I told you this would work. All you need is a little faith, trust, and...
pixie dust?
There you are. We've been looking for you all morning.
Hey, did you guys see that comet last night?
No, but did you see that big green ball of light that flew by? What's with the berries?
Just bringing them to the forest for the animals.
Don't berries come from the forest?
Not this particular variety, which is,
extra berry-felicious-tastic!
Yum! Can we help?
No, we're fine. Why would we need help?
Oh, for goodness sake. There's an easier way to do this.
Wait, no, you don't know what you're doing!
It's called helping. A simple thank you would suffice.
The berries float.
What are you all staring at?
The chick is huge. They all run for their lives, leaving Hannah looking most put out. High up in a dark fir tree, three hawks have heard Hannah's call. A boy fairy in a lookout tree gasps as fairies run hither and thither. And the wide-winged hawks swoop out of the blue sky above him.
That comet is an astronomical puzzle, to be sure, but careful observation and application...
Scribble and Queen Clarion gasp at the sight of the three hawks flying past. As the three predators swoop down, Hannah jumps out of the basket.
Hannah, stop! Come back! Everyone, get inside!
One of the hawks zooms after Iridesa and Silver Mist. It flexes its deadly claws.
Iridesa!
And makes a beeline for Iridesa. The hawk is almost upon her.
Oh no!
She's snatched to safety.
Nyx?
The black-haired scout fairy drops her off with her friends. Twirling her stripy baton, Nyx summons more warrior-like maidens who swoop down to Pixie Hollow. On the ground, furry creatures run for cover as the hawks pursue their prey. Nyx and a second scout fairy bounce a third winged warrior up into the air to lasso the hawk's beak. The bird angrily flaps its wings as the scout fairy takes control. A second hawk goes after two other scouts, who coolly peel off to the left and right. The two hawks collide in midair. They both fly off, but there's still one left.
Hannah!
Tink urges the animals to take cover.
Go! Get inside! Hurry! Go!
Come on!
The third hawk flops down behind her. As it opens its beak, Nyx shoves in her stripy spear, keeping the beak prized open. A blonde scout lassoes the hawk's claws. She finds an arrow at a playwheel. Another scout attaches the lasso holding the hawk's feet to the arrow. The hawk is shot into the air by the turning wheel, and it flies off after the other hawks. Hannah's flopping about on the ground. The blonde archer shoots at an acorn. It explodes and releases a net that falls on Hannah and holds her down. The scout fairies surround her. Nyx, their leader, elegantly descends with her spear at the ready.
Wait! Everybody calm down! I promise she doesn't even like the taste of Scout Fairy.
Babies are such picky eaters.
It's okay, Hannah. Everything's going to be all right.
Get away from the hawk, Fawn. Let us handle this.
There's nothing to handle, Nyx.
I said stand down, Fawn.
Is everyone all right?
Nyx replies.
Yes, Queen Clarion. This time.
But how am I supposed to keep us safe if Fawn keeps bringing dangerous animals into Pixie Hollow? Last time, it was rats. And a snake.
Actually, last time it was a vampire bat.
Fawn's just got a big heart. That's all. Hannah needed her help.
Does this look like the face of a dangerous predator to you?
Come on, back me up, guys!
Fawn?
I know. Nyx is right. I've done this once or twice, or several times. Before.
Yes.
However, perhaps my latest endeavor was crossing the line.
Indeed.
I hear what you're saying. Maybe harboring a baby hawk wasn't the best idea.
Fawn, I know you. You've always let your heart guide you, which is admirable, but...
But I also need to listen with my head.
Queen Clarion nods in agreement.
Next time, I promise. I will.
Fawn crouches down to the big baby bird.
Well, Hannah Banana, I'd say come back and visit, but probably best keep this a long-distance thing. Now, let's give that wing a try.
Fawn tugs at the net, releasing the bird. Nyx watches like a hawk as Hannah flaps her wings and soars up to the sky beyond. Fawn watches with a happy smile, but Nyx scowls as she sheathes her spear. Fawn draws a line in some sand with a stick.
Good morning, students! Beautiful day for a fresh start, don't you think? All right, then, let's see that hopping.
Two rabbits hop across the line.
Nice work, Nico! Perfection, Paige!
The third walks on hind legs.
Oh, Callista, remember, it's hopping, not walking. What, haven't you heard? I'm strictly by the book now. Yep, we're talking model citizen all the way. Looking for the definition of responsibility? Look no further than this girl.
The three rabbits munching blueberries prick up their floppy ears.
Well, that was interesting.
All three rabbits hop out of sight.
Now that's hopping.
Pixie-eared Fawn can't resist going to investigate. She floats towards a misty woodland dell.
Hello?
In her off-the-shoulder orange fairy dress and brown boots, auburn-haired Fawn flies fearlessly into the wood and emerges from behind a big green leaf. Ahead of her, the trees are bare and forbidding. She floats to the ground where she finds a length of twine. She examines its length, rubs it against her cheek, and sniffs it. She steps back as she looks at the five shallow round craters in the ground. From above, they're clearly giant paw prints. Bright-eyed with curiosity, Fawn leaves the leafy pixie hollow and follows the paw prints deeper and deeper into a forest of bare, dead branches. Ahead of her, she sees a craggy cave in the middle of a desolate canyon. She hovers over the gaping mouth of the cave.
Come on, Fawn, listen to your head. Heart gets you in trouble, head is your friend. And yet, head is making me talk to myself. Out loud. In the forest. No. Model citizen. Starting first thing tomorrow.
She darts down into the dark cave. With her gossamer wings fluttering, she flies through the darkness, looking around in all directions. Her wide eyes unblinking and excited, she flits nearer and nearer to the unseen creature. A coiled, rat-like tail stirs.
What are you?
Whatever it is, has gray fur and a bulky frame. It flaps an ear. Fawn, hiding behind a rock, watches with rapt fascination and a widening smile. She moves closer to what could be a paw. She gapes at the sight of a thorn sticking out of the creature's paw. She flits right up to the thorn and reaches out to grab it. She tugs, but then backs away from two glowing green eyes and a monstrous furry fanged face.
Okay, think. Territorial, possibly carnivorous, unspeakably big! What to do? What to do? Play dead! No, freeze! No, the opposite! Make myself look big!
In a cloud of dust, Fawn is propelled out of the cave. At their rocky headquarters far above Pixie Hollow, Nyx and the scouts turn towards the sound.
What was that?
Covered in autumn leaves, Fawn comes to on the bare ground some distance away from the mouth of the cave. She gets her breath back and flits out of the dead forest. Hovering in the air, she looks back at the cave in the midst of the desolate, rocky canyon. She closes her eyes, trying to curb her natural instincts, listening to her head instead of her heart, but then heads back towards the canyon. Three songbirds are having choir practice with their choir mistress.
Did you hear it?
Hear what?
The roar! Did you hear the roar?
Sorry, did you say something?
You bet I heard it. Little faster. Visualize the acorn right in front of you.
Excellent. What was it?
No idea. But let me know as soon as you find out.
Gently now. To the left. The other left.
Nix interrupts skunk practice.
That roar.
This morning?
What was it?
Oh, I don't know. I don't specialize in roars. Now grunts and growls, on the other hand.
Who would know?
Well, if it came from anything big.
Loud.
Scary.
And dangerous. Try...
Fawn.
Fawn is back near the cave, blinking excitedly, as a grey, furry head emerges from the hollow. It pulls its heavy grey and black striped body out into the open and takes a few limping paces with its short legs, waving its rat-like tail. It looks over its shoulder as Fawn flits past it. Seeing nothing, the creature resumes its hobbling walk, leaving behind it a small pile of grey stones. Fawn pops up from under them and flits on, hiding behind a thin branch as the humped-backed beast lumbers past. It limps out into a bright green meadow and sniffs at a pile of small grey stones, knocks them down with its snub nose and finds a bigger brown rock beneath them. He sends it rolling towards a pile of similar brown rocks. From the branch of a tree, Fawn observes it, lick a stone and recoil. Then it limps heavily towards the brown rock and tries to pick it up in its teeth. It presses one paw onto the rock, but the paw slips and the creature bumps its jaw. It licks its sore paw and hobbles off past the unforgiving brown rock. Fawn drops a brown rock in its path.
Come on, big guy. Over here.
She's tied the rock with a vine. The creature tilts its head in puzzlement as she points to the rock. It lumbers towards Fawn, who suspends the rock from a tree above the creature's head. It lunges up towards it, but it's out of its reach. As it tries to snap up the rock, Fawn tries to grab the thorn and pull it out of the paw. One more lunge and the creature grabs the rock between its razor-sharp teeth, and Fawn pulls out the thorn. She falls to the ground and the creature drops the rock. Fawn's leg is caught up in the vine.
Wait! I was only trying to help!
The creature opens its square jaw and grabs the rock, leaving Fawn unharmed.
Huh?
The long-bodied, wide-mouthed creature drops the rock with the others, licks its paw, tests it on the ground, and turns away, no longer limping. Fawn looks pleased.
So I guess I'll just be on my way then.
She watches it digging a ditch around another rock.
Those thick forelimbs are ideal for digging. Nope, no. You're all fixed up, so off I go. And that massive jaw is perfect for supporting those heavy rocks. Oh, okay, sorry. Just leaving.
He adds another rock to the pile.
But, you know, it's like you're a cross between Didelphus marsupialis and Bison occidentalis.
It unfurls a long pink tongue.
It spits. Well, I don't know what that's about.
A rock lands on the spit and sticks.
And I don't know what that's about.
It hangs from a tree branch like a bat and throws a rock onto a ledge.
I really don't know what that's about. What are you building? You know, it is my job as an animal fairy to understand and study animals. And the queen did say I should listen to my head. Huh. You convinced me. I'll do it. For the queen. Now stay here, okay? I'll be right back. I just need to get my stuff. Don't go anywhere. Just stay. Stay. Stay.
Arriving at her tree home, she pulls out a drawer and takes out some animal study scrolls. Nix appears in her doorway.
Fawn.
Nix?
I've been looking everywhere for you. So where you been? Off hiding a hippo?
Yep. He's bunking with the bobcat.
Did you hear that roar this morning?
Can you describe the roar in question? What kind of roar was it?
The loud, hair-raising, monstrous kind.
Animals make all kinds of roars. I mean, you've got your growls, howls, whoops, hollers, shrieks, rumbles. Was it like this?
No, a roar.
Oh, sort of like a...
No. No! No! Fawn!
Yeah, if you hear that one, run. Would you hand me that?
Nyx hands Fawn her study stuff.
Look, this thing might be a threat to Pixie Hollow. If you find out what made that roar, I need to know. Are we clear?
What will you do if you find it?
My job.
Spinning her black and white spear, Nyx flies off.
And I'll do mine.
Fawn finds a pair of binoculars to go with a magnifying glass and a pile of books, all packed into her green leaf satchel. She sets off after the mystery creature.
Strange sight, you stand in the light. You're wrong, but you're right. My heart's beating wildly. Strange how I'm scared, but delighted. Afraid, but excited too. You have a cold heart. You're reckless and distant, but I'll be persistent. I will understand you. Strange how I'm drawn.
Over the course of the day, the creature became used to Fawn flitting round him and sketching him. They settled down for the night. A paw nudges her at daybreak.
Oh, I cleaned out the skunk bin yesterday.
It nudges her again. She sits up to find a pair of green eyes looking at her.
Oh, good morning.
The creature moves to one side, revealing a tall, pointed, bendy-looking tower of rocks he's built.
Looks like somebody's a night owl.
She scoots up to the top of the leaning tower of Pixie Hollow, shining red in the dawn sunshine.
What is this?
What?
The creature drops her onto his furry forehead.
So where to?
Anywhere but scout headquarters. Look, if I'm gonna cover for you, I need to know.
What's the tower for?
This one beaver, I know Bob, great guy. He makes dams big enough to store food for 3 winters.
And of course, marmots build these terrific burrows out of rock piles for hibernation.
And then you've got your northern orioles and those hanging nests of theirs. I mean, talk about brilliant.
I'm thinking, you're not storing food, or preparing for hibernation, or nesting. Seriously, what's the tower for? We don't have to be so gruff about it. That's it, gruff. Yep. Gruff suits you to a... Whoa!
Oh. Gruff plops her on a rock and stamps his feet on the spot.
Guess we're building another one. But before we start, I was just thinking, why not enjoy yourself a bit while you work?
Gruff rolls the rock on which Fawn is standing.
Hear me out. No reason I should have all the fun with the pixie dust.
She whips up a swirl of pixie dust, and the rock rises up into the air.
Come on!
Gruff sniffs the rock and jawbutts it onto a new pile of rocks.
Now we're talking!
She raises another rock, and he biffs it with his paw. She shoves a big rock in front of him, and he kicks it into touch with his tail. More rocks are knocked into place with a combination of pixie dust, tail thrust, and spit. Gruff, standing on four floating rocks, dances in the air.
Fairies and Sparrowmen, presenting the three-time defending champion of the Pixie Hollow Games tower-building event, the amazing, incomparable Gruff.
His furry ears wag.
Will he hold off this year's pint-sized, yet feisty, challenger?
He scrapes the ground with his forepaw and thunders towards a line of rocks hanging in the air with one mighty headbutt, sending the top layer flying.
And he nails it! But it's too much! The fairy wins! The fairy!
Fawn sees the displaced rocks hurtling towards a sunflower meadow.
And done. This may be our best spring yet.
Incoming!
Rocks crash into the sunflowers and kick up a cloud of choking dust. The two flower fairies flee. The sunflower meadow has been trashed. Nyx taps a rock with her spear.
The boulders came from that direction?
Affirmative.
If Fawn hadn't shouted that warning, we'd be flatter than a pumpkin seed.
Two pumpkin seeds!
Fawn?
Hey, Gruff, I think it's time we make like a tree and leave.
Gruff has vanished.
Oh.
Fawn swoops through the forest, leaving a trail of pixie dust.
Come on, Gruff, where are you?
She lands in a wall of grey fur.
Gruff! No time for rock collecting! You gotta get out of here!
He picks up a boulder in his teeth and goes off with it.
Gruff!
One of the scouts is standing by a plant covered in gloop.
Nyx!
Nyx wipes some gloopy spit onto her finger and peers at it.
Snodgrass.
Her fierce eyes narrow as she looks towards the forest.
No, Gruff! Wrong way! We have to go!
Okay, new game, Gruff. It's called Chase the Fairy. Now follow me!
Fawn weaves patterns of pixie dust in front of Gruff's eyes, and he hurtles after her. The scout fairies in arrow formation fly above the trees. They spot his grey hulk beneath them, and they nosedive down after him.
Knock it out with the nightshade powder!
The five scouts peel off, taking their own individual parts. As Gruff lumbers after Fawn on the forest floor, she glances round and sees Nyx's pixie dust trail coming up behind them. Nyx collides with low-lying branches and gets caught up in vines as she pursues them. Up ahead, a blonde scout puts her fingers to her lips. A sister scout standing on a nearby branch prepare their slingshots. The blonde archer pulls back her bow to fire a three-pronged arrow. The scout's horse chestnut missiles explode into a huge purple cloud. Gruff thunders towards it. Seeing it up ahead, Fawn swerves and Gruff avoids the cloud. It rolls back towards the scout fairies. Nyx finds her army lying helpless on the woodland floor. Black-haired with a high forehead, her face is set in a frown as she zooms on. Branches fall across her path as she enters the misty part of the forest with zero visibility. Her expression tightens as she spots Gruff's humped outline ahead of her. She emerges through the fronds of a willow tree. Ahead of her, she sees a horizon of shimmering water. She climbs to the top of a conical-shaped rock and peers down. She swoops down into a hollow of bleached tree roots and mist, spear at the ready, but sees nothing. She soars back up to the top of a high, grassy plateau. The bottom half is hung with bleached tree roots, clinging to the rock. Fawn and Gruff are hiding inside the network of old roots.
That's my big furry monster. Maybe it's time to make proper introductions.
Scribbles at his blackboard.
Interesting. 35.25 miles to the right. Fascinating.
Get me every animal volume you have in here immediately.
Please, I'm in the middle of a high-level special royal project. Oh, did I say royal? Whoop. Top secret. Oh! Hello. How may I help you?
Nick scowls at Scribble's goofy smile.
And this is just the A's. You know, books are a workout for the brains. And the biceps.
He has very skinny arms. Nick pours through all the hardback books he's brought her, and there are more to come.
Ta-da!
Nick gives him a look.
And so I said, listen, QC, Claire, most Sparrowmen couldn't stomach this kind of pressure, but then again, I'm not most Sparrowmen. And besides,
she spots something.
Mysterious green comet isn't going to analyze itself.
Tell me everything you know about this. Everything.
Over dinner? Oh, okay, I see. I've misread the situation entirely, haven't I? We'll always have the A's.
Fawn is talking to her friends.
First, thank you guys so much for meeting me here. I'm sure you're wondering what this is about.
Whatever it is, it better be good. I was mid-exfoliation. Mid-exfoliation!
So, as you know, I really learned my lesson about being smarter when it comes to dangerous animals.
We know,
oh, honey, you are doing great. Yeah, you're doing really good.
However...
And here we go.
Fawn? Ladies, say hello to Gruff.
He hangs down from a branch behind them.
Hi, Gruff! What is that?
I actually don't know. I've never seen any animal like him before. Ever.
What does he eat?
Not berries?
Oh, that's a relief.
So I'm gonna take him to the queen and show her he's harmless. Then I'll tell her how he destroyed Sunflower Meadow. How I destroyed... you know what? Maybe it was both of us.
You guys destroyed Sunflower Meadow?
He did it. It was an accident, okay?
Gruff climbs his rock tower.
And what do you call that?
Again, I don't exactly know, but I'm working on it.
I'm hearing a lot of I don't knows in this conversation.
Uncertainty makes me uncomfortable.
Come on! Have I ever put you guys in danger?
Yeah, oh, sure.
Yeah, I still can't sit up straight.
Hawk.
Oh, yeah. The point is, I want to do the responsible thing this time, just like I promised.
I'm guessing you already have a plan in mind?
Operation Gruffagogo.
Silver Mist applauds. Gruff paddles the air with his paws as the fairies carry him on a web of golden pixie dust. They drop him at the foot of Queen Clarion's tree.
Open up, big guy.
Fawn smooths down his hair with some of his spit.
Ew, my skin is gonna break out.
Okay, so I'll go in and set the stage, then on my signal, get him in position, and I'll bring her out. Don't worry, she's gonna love you.
Fawn peers into his huge green eye.
Here I go, model citizen all the way.
Good luck.
Be brave.
You can do it, sugar.
She's doomed.
Queen Clarion, I've been thinking about what you said, which is why I'm here to tell you that
Nick's caught there first.
You know what? I can wait. I'll come back.
Fawn, I'm glad you're here.
So am I.
Nick has discovered a dangerous animal in Pixie Hollow. We could really use your expertise.
Gruff gives Tink a lift up to the queen's window.
I am on the verge of perspiring over here. Do you see the signal?
I had my first direct sighting earlier today. This is no ordinary predator we're talking about. It's bigger and faster than anything we've ever seen. I combed through every animal text in the library and came up empty. But it turns out I was looking in the wrong place.
Nick catches Fawn miming to Tink.
What? Mission abort! Mission abort!
That comet that went by the other night, it was here before. 972 years ago. And each time it passes, it wakes the creature.
Nick shows a drawing of Gruff.
What is this?
This is the Never Beast. Once the comet brings it out of hibernation, it starts building. Four rock towers, one in each season of Pixie Hollow. Green clouds fill the sky. The creature transforms, and then a lightning storm so powerful, it consumes all of Pixie Hollow.
Fawn, staring at the drawing, sees Gruff's green eye blinking at her from outside.
Back home! Come on, please! No.
If we don't act fast, this storm will destroy us all.
How do we really know this is true? And not just some crazy legend or misunderstanding?
On three. One, two, three!
The fairies tug at Gruff's fur and sprinkle pixie dust into his eyes. Nyx and the queen spin round. Fawn pretends to wipe her nose.
I should get that checked out.
Queen Clarion and Nyx turn away. The queen pulls aside a screen.
That's odd.
The fairies are all pinned to the trunk of the tree. Gruff is sitting on a high branch.
Ew! My mouth was open!
It's always open!
Guys, now's our chance! Quick!
Tink and the fairies zip up to Gruff and sprinkle him with pixie dust.
Look, animals do not control the weather.
Ordinary animals don't.
Furthermore, this creature, with the horns and the bat wings, an animal that big couldn't possibly fly under his own power.
Fawn sees Gruff and Tink performing an airborne ballet outside the window.
Bottom line, either we capture the Neverbeast, or life as we know it is over.
Nyx, let's not do anything rash until we know more. See if you can locate the creature first.
Yes, Queen Clarion.
I just don't want innocent animals to get hurt.
And I don't want innocent fairies to get hurt. I'm not the enemy here.
Both of you are conscientious and talented fairies, and I trust you, both of you, to do what's right for Pixie Hollow.
Nyx rejoins her team.
What's the word?
She trusts me to do the right thing.
Which is?
We go after it at dawn.
In the light of a glowing full moon, Gruff is languidly floating upside down, watched by the fairies.
What happened? You were supposed to get him out of here.
Oh, we tried, Chug. Giant thing wouldn't budge.
I think he didn't want to leave you.
Gruff tilts his furry head and blinks at his tiny fairy friend.
I missed you too, Gruff.
Sorry to break whatever this is up, but what happened to doing the right thing?
Nyx got there first.
And?
Fawn sits on the bridge of Gruff's flat nose.
And... Nyx found this harebrained legend about a creature called the Neverbeast who builds rock towers and shoots lightning to destroy Pixie Hollow. So now she thinks he's some kind of monster.
The fairies look at her in alarm.
I know, crazy, right?
Gruff, with his fairy passengers, lands on the ground.
Well, early day tomorrow.
Am I tired? Really? I'm wide awake. Bye-bye now.
Come on, guys. You don't really think any of that stuff is true.
Their faces say they do.
It's just, I know he's not what they say he is.
Tink puts an arm around Fawn.
Even if you're right, it's not safe for him here.
The fairies turn to look at Gruff's face, and Fawn hangs her head sadly. At night, Gruff carries another rock to the top of one of his towers, then bungee jumps down from the top and lands on the ground. He joins Fawn on the top of a flat rock beneath a star-filled sky. He slumps down like an exhausted dog by the fireside.
Hey, big guy. Done for the day? Rest up, because first thing tomorrow, we're gonna find someplace great for you. Just until things settle down. Gruff, you see those stars over there? If you connect them, they make a monkey. See his tail? But if you turn it upside down, it's a swan. See? That one's a squirrel. Oh, and over there with the spikes, hedgehog. See it? I knew you'd get it. You just have to know how to look.
Gruff's eyes shine, and he cracks a smile.
Imagine you a monster of all the ridiculous ideas. I know they're wrong about you. They don't see what I see.
Lying back on the furry bridge of his nose, her eyes become heavy with sleep. Looking out at the night sky, Gruff sees a wall of bright green clouds appearing behind the round-topped peaks of Pixie Hollow. His eye glows yellow and then darkens. The next morning, golden sunlight washes across Fawn's sleeping face. Her hazel eyes open, and she sits up with a start.
Gruff?
She's alone on the flat rock.
Gruff?
High up at Scout headquarters, Nyx's SWAT team are gearing up. The five of them emerge into the daylight and look out at the strange green clouds in the distance.
It's starting.
Nyx sheathes her spear and zips away with her team. In Pixie Hollow, the fairies look up at the sky.
What is that? It's so green.
I've never seen anything like that.
Tink joins them. Watching the scouts zip across the sky, Tink looks at Gruff's leaning tower with foreboding.
Gruff! Gruff! Come on, Gruff. It's chase the fairy, not run away from her.
Fawn! The scouts, they were geared up and moving fast. Please tell me you took him away already.
About that. I sort of temporarily misplaced him.
You lost him?
I got this. I just have to find him before the scouts do.
Wait, he's going to build two more towers. One in autumn, one in winter.
I thought you said the legend wasn't real.
Technically, I said he's not what they think.
But everything Nyx warned us about, it's happening. The clouds are green.
Look, it doesn't matter what Nyx's legend says. All I know is Gruff would never hurt us. Please, Tink, trust me.
Tink considers.
I'll take winter.
She turns to go.
Hey, Tink! Thanks.
With a reassuring nod, Tink flits away. And Fawn resumes her search. Down on the ground, Gruff starts his tower-building foot-stamping routine. Rock on rock, held together with spit, the autumn leaning tower is soon built by a woodland of red and gold leaf trees. Gruff growls at the green clouds and lopes away, leaving the burnished trees behind him as he heads for a snowy peak in the distance. Fawn arrives at the autumn tower and looks with trepidation at the wall of green clouds on the far horizon. Fawn's eyes dart from side to side. She picks a direction and speeds off through the trees. Nyx whistles to her team. The scouts congregate in the autumn corner, carrying their netting with them.
Just like the other two. Just like the drawing.
Over here!
The blonde archer finds a broken branch.
It's headed towards summer.
She shoots off in that direction. Fawn breaks branches to mislead the scouts. Seeing them in the distance, she flits out of sight. She waits for them to pass and goes off in the opposite direction. Nyx marks the three corners of the Neverbeast's map. Only the winter one in the north remains uncharted. She looks round at the snowy peaks behind her. Furrowing her brow, she sets off towards the wintry landscape. Meanwhile, Tink, in a fur-lined green hooded jacket, is already there.
Gruff!
She lands on the snow and looks up aghast at the lightning crackling across the green clouds. A lightning bolt sends electricity blasting down next to her. She dives for cover.
Gruff! There you are! We've been looking everywhere for you!
Gruff turns towards her. His eyes are menacing yellow. He bounds towards her. Cold air blasts from his nostrils.
Gruff, it's me, Tink! Fawn's friend! The scouts are coming for you! You have to hide! Gruff?
With a whack of his tail, he sends Tink hurtling through the air and landing on the ice. Fawn sees her friend lying unconscious.
Tink! Tink! What did you do?
Gruff roars at her as she cradles Tink in her arms. A fork of lightning strikes Gruff's fourth tower. Gruff paws the snow and shakes his head as if wrestling with something inside him. His silhouette on the snow suddenly grows sharp, curved horns. Fawn looks up at his terrifying new head.
No!
He opens his gigantic jaw, and Fawn averts her eyes. She looks up and sees he's gone. Her face sober with purpose, Nyx skims above the icy ground, banking and weaving to avoid snowy outcrops and tree trunks. She comes face to face with the horned creature. His nostrils snort cold air. She backs away, unsheathing her spear, and points it at his forehead. He jumps over her, deflecting her spear and covering her in a cloud of icy spray.
Help!
Nyx is faced with the choice of going after Gruff or helping Fawn and Tink.
Nyx!
She sighs in frustration. She zips down to the two fairies on the ice. With her friends gathered round Tink's bed, the fairy doctor listens to her chest. Fawn sits slumped nearby.
Is she gonna be okay?
She needs to rest. Stay off her wings for a few days. She'll be all right.
Oh, thank goodness.
Oh, great
That's
news.
A relief.
See, Fawn, she's gonna be... Fawn?
Fawn has gone. Out in the wintry domain, Gruff is standing on a rocky outcrop, looking out towards the green clouds in the distance. Fawn nears the rock.
Gruff? Come down! I need to see you!
He slumps down next to her. He brings his scary, snarling face right up to her. He blinks at the tiny fairy hovering in front of him and gently nuzzles her with his flat nose. Netting descends on him from above, followed by streams of pixie dust as the scouts each grab the end of a rope to hold him down, their wings golden in the evening light.
Stand firm!
Gruff strains to free himself. One scout goes flying. The scouts hurl their missiles, and Gruff is engulfed in a purple cloud. He struggles on despite his weakening strength, keeping Fawn in his sights. He drags himself in her direction.
Steady! Hold your ground!
Fawn becomes a tiny blur in his eyes as the nightshade powder takes its effect. He flops to the ground. One milky eye opens, with Fawn faintly reflected in it, and closes again.
Let's move it out!
The scouts sprinkle swathes of pixie dust around the huge, inert creature, and he rises like a ship from the ocean waves, pulled along in the air by the team of indomitable scout fairies. Nyx taps Fawn on the shoulder.
You did the right thing.
Fawn watches her friend being carried away with his accompanying golden-winged scouts alongside, and she sinks to her knees. The cave where she found him is shrouded in mist. As green clouds loom up over Pixie Hollow, animals scurry home, except for the rabbit, who insists on walking on his hind legs.
Everyone is inside! Hurry!
Hurry! Hurry! Come on! Come on, Callista!
Callista's shoved into its home. Fairies dive into an underground shelter.
Scribble, get inside!
Fly away!
Get out of here!
At least I loved once.
Scribble presses a book to his chest and ducks under it. The winged scouts hover around the netted creature.
Whatever this is, it should have stopped by now.
Just stick to the plan. Immobilize the Neverbeast, and the storm disappears.
They all look up to the swirling green eye of the storm.
Does the storm know the plan?
Get everyone to cover until this blows over.
The scouts zip away. The fairy lookout tree tumbles. Nyx scampers towards the falling watchtower. The lookout fairy falls to the ground. Nyx fights off falling debris with her spear.
Get to the shelter! Move! And secure the doors!
The eye of the storm flashes and glows, and one of Gruff's towers fizzes with green electricity. All four towers crackle and glow, forming a canopy of electricity over Pixie Hollow. Nyx looks across at the inert, immobilized creature.
You stop this now!
Gruff's eyes are unresponsive, dark hollows. With steely-eyed determination, Nyx flies towards the quivering thread of raw electricity. In Pixie Hollow, Tink is looking out of her window.
You need anything else? Bring some extra bandages.
I've got the pedals on the Tink, we need to get to the shelter. It's not safe here.
I have to find Fawn.
Tink! Fawn!
Fawn falls into her arms.
It's over. He can't hurt you anymore.
Groth?
He's exactly what Nick said he was. A monster.
No, Fawn. He's my hero.
In a flashback to the wintry landscape.
When I found him in winter, he was acting really strange.
Groth, it's me, Tink! Fawn's friend! The scouts are coming for you! You have to hide!
Groth?
Groth sweeps her aside with his tail, just as a tree hit by lightning falls to the ice. Through half-open eyes, Tink sees his kindly face.
If he hadn't pushed me away, I would have been crushed by the tree. I could have been killed.
Or worse.
He was protecting you?
He saved my life.
And I betrayed him.
Fawn looks out at the raging storm. An idea comes to her, and she turns to go.
Where are you going?
To do the right thing.
Outside, electricity dances and crackles. Inside the scout's tower, Groth lies inert. The fairies swoop through the windows of the tower.
Hang tight, Groth! We're getting you out of here!
They tug at the heavy ropes.
We need help!
For goodness sake, there is an easier way to do this.
Rosetta sprinkles pixie dust at the netting.
Thank you.
The netting rises, releasing Groth.
Go, take cover. Come on, Groth.
He staggers to his feet.
Groth, let's go. Groth?
His vision is still blurred.
Come on, Fawn,
get out of there.
Life or death moment here. Listen to me. You're having a reaction to the nightshade.
As she flits in front of his milky eyes, he can see the glowing golden trail behind her.
You can see my glow.
Don't worry, Groth. I'm gonna get you out of here.
Electricity penetrates the chamber, striking his pointy horns, sending the current through his head and his whole body. He stands on his hind legs, and a pair of dragon wings sprout and flap. He rises from the ground, his body blue, his horns and wings, a crisscross of fiery gold. As the light goes out, he remains airborne, still flapping his wings.
Well, I did not see that coming.
Nick's got it backwards. He's not here to destroy us. The towers, they draw in the lightning so he can collect it. It's what he's been preparing for the whole time.
Groth flaps wildly as he descends. Stamps the ground excitedly. Fawn flies up to his nose.
I understand. We're going to the towers.
No,
no! Fawn! For once, my head and heart, they're actually telling me to do the same thing.
Fawn, no, you can't!
It's okay. That said, if things don't go well, Syl, you can have my rock collection.
Oh. All right, big guy. Just follow my glow.
Groth spreads his wings and flies behind Fawn. Tink and the other fairies watch with trepidation.
Okay, Groth, that's it!
Fawn shields her eyes from the dazzling storm above.
Pull up!
Groth clutters through the trees. They soar above the treetops.
You okay?
Groth seems to be grinning. They fly on towards a tower crackling with electricity. Groth seizes the thread of electricity and mid-flight turns icy blue and marbled gold as the charge courses through him. Fawn smiles as she sees her plan working. They fly on across the moody blue sky above Pixie Hollow, where residents are busy saving their possessions. They reach the second lightning conductor tree, and Groth seizes the charge. Now he has two prongs of electricity crackling from his curved horns, like two neon-lit antennae.
Two down, two to go!
He flaps towards the third tower and seizes the lightning. The sky above turns a marbled blue.
One more, Groth!
They fly onto the last crackling tower. From out of the green, Fawn spots a golden pixie trail.
No!
Nyx has hurled dust at Groth, extinguishing the electricity. sending him plummeting to the ground in a cloud of dust. Fawn lands on the bridge of Gruff's nose. Up on the brow of a hill, she sees Nyx.
Nyx! What are you doing?
Saving Pixie Hollow!
No, he was saving Pixie Hollow!
The eye of the storm goes from harmless blue back to murderous green. Nyx watches in alarm as trees burst into flames and bolts of lightning strike all around her. A bolt of lightning hurtles towards her. She shields her eyes, then looks up to see that it has struck Gruff. His body lights up for a brief moment, then he falls forward. She looks at him in speechless amazement and drops her spear.
Nyx, we don't have much time. The fire's spreading fast.
Nyx suddenly seems to have lost her nerve.
Listen to me. Get out of here. Get everyone to safety. Go!
Nyx recovers herself and darts away to do her job. Fawn turns to Gruff, who's rolling a rock with his snout.
Gruff, it's too late! How can we catch it all?
She watches the fiery display of lightning bolts, and an idea forms in her mind. She zips up to Gruff's nose.
Follow me.
She leads the half-blind creature up from the ground past the fairies towards the eye of the storm, flapping his dragon-like wings as he climbs the air. As they climb, Gruff catches a finger of lightning and a second one. His head and body turn blue, his wings gold once again. Fawn tilts her face upwards and plows on. Gruff behind her catches the threads of electricity as if they were the strings of a bunch of balloons. Fawn fearlessly nears the white portal, but Gruff snatches her out of the way. With their hearts in their mouths, the fairies watch the light show above their heads. Nyx joins them. Flapping his wings with all his might, Gruff rises towards the vortex in the sky, and slowly he and all the threads of electricity pass through it and vanish. Fawn uncovers her eyes and with mounting excitement watches a pinprick of light open up in the swirling green sky. The heavens erupt, dazzling the fairy's eyes. The sky is once again dark blue with a few fluffy white clouds floating across it. The fairies hovering in the air search the sky for their friends.
Can you see them?
There! Fawn!
Help them!
Obeying Nyx, the scouts scoot up towards Fawn and Gruff falling out of the sky. Silver Mist and Iridessa catch Fawn in their arms. And all the others catch Gruff in a hammock of pixie dust, depositing him gently on the ground. The last few flickers of green electricity leave his body. He staggers to his feet and shakes himself. His skeletal wings become clouds of dust. His eyes glow green. His vision returns. He sees the fairy doctor bent over Fawn's limp body, shake her head. As Gruff scuttles up to Fawn, the fairies scatter. He sniffs her inert body and recoils in shock. He plants his forepaws on the ground in front of her. The fairies and Nyx, overcome with sadness and regret, watch as he nudges her with his nose. He raises his furry head and summons up a few last flickers of green electricity down through his paws and into her body. Fawn gasps for breath. Gruff and the fairies watch her come back to life.
Gruff. Hey. That's my big furry monster.
He nuzzles her cheek and grins broadly. Tink and the fairies run towards Fawn, followed by the scouts, and finally Nyx, who looks very relieved. An aerial view of strands of golden pixie dust crowding round Gruff's head. Fawn, using a feather pen, writes in her journal and does a drawing of Gruff.
Every fairy should know the true story about the Neverbeast. He is the brave guardian of Pixie Hollow. He is our hero. And his name is Gruff.
He's everyone's helper.
Easy, easy, a little more. Good job.
He pushes a fallen tree back into place.
Hey, Gruff!
Thanks, Gruff!
Well, how about that? They finally see what I see.
She snuggles against his furry face.
Took them long enough, huh?
He flaps his ears and bares his two rows of jagged teeth.
Hey, Gruff!
Hi, Gruffy! What do y'all think we should do now?
Actually, I made a list.
Of course you did.
Oh, we should go truffle snuffling. With that sense of smell.
Speaking of smells, how about a bath? I've got a lilac shampoo that can do wonders for that fur.
I know a hot spring that's just his size, with a waterfall.
Fawn snuggles up to his chest.
Fawn?
Gruff gives a big yawn.
Gruff? Looks like he needs a nap.
A little rest will perk him right up, won't it, Fawn?
Fawn sighs.
His work is done. It's time for him to go back into hibernation.
How long are we talking about? A month? A season?
A year?
More like 1,000 years.
But that means we'll never see him again.
The fairies exchange wistful looks. Fawn looks up into Gruff's face.
It's time.
Two lines of fairies carrying tiny golden lights escort Gruff back to his lair. As they flit past unopened pink flowers, the petals spring open and shine a pink light.
With a heart made of stone, there's a light that you shine, there's a love.
Gruff yawns sleepily as Fawn, riding on his forehead, guides him through a curtain of pink blossoms. He blinks down at the winding pink pathway leading to his lair, and a canopy of yellow dandelions hovering above it. As the fairies blow at the dandelion heads, tiny golden seeds float down towards him.
And it's real, and it's right. Something strange out of sight.
Fawn leads him into the lair where Tink and the other five fairies hover in a line, watching him pad towards a bed of gossamer.
Anyone who sleeps for 1,000 years deserves a decent bed. And a fluffy pillow. Make that a gruffy pillow.
A spring-filled water bowl that never runs dry. A nightlight, so you never have to be scared.
He laps up some water with his long pink tongue.
A little fresh air to keep you cool.
He turns round on the spot, finds his position, and his head flops down on the soft pillow. Nyx floats down to him with a reverent expression.
And the enduring respect of a grateful scout.
She looks up into his big green eyes and kisses his furry face. Now Fawn flits forward.
Hey, big guy. I won't see you again. But I know you'll always be there when we need you. I'm really gonna miss you.
She clings to his shiny black nose and lays her head on his fur.
I love you, Gruff.
She floats up to his eye level and stays there, her gossamer wings softly wafting, until his big green eye slowly closes. Darkness. The credits are accompanied by black and white sketches of Grub, Fawn, and the rest, which fill with color. Directed by Steve Lotter. Produced by Michael Weigert, PGA. Executive producer, John Lasseter. So many Story by Steve Lotter and Tom Rogers. Such a long, long time. Screenplay by Tom Rogers, Robert Schooley, even Mark McCorkle, and Kate Condell. Original score composed by Joel McNeely. I could count the tears. Editor, Margaret Hu. And the long, long nights. Art director, Ellen Jin Over. Animation supervisor, Michael Greenholt. In a thousand years. Head of story, Lawrence Gong. CG supervisor, Mark Ellis. Associate producer, Timothy Jason Smith. Executive music supervisor, Matt Walker. Music supervisor, Brett Swain. Post-production executive, Brent W. Hall. Sound design and supervising sound editor, Todd Toon. Fawn is voiced by Jennifer Goodwin. Tinkerbell, Mae Whitman. Nyx, Rosario Dawson. Silver Mist by Lucy Liu. Iridessa, Raven Simon. Rosetta, Megan Hilty. Vidya, Pamela Adlon. Fury by Danai Gurira. Chase, Chloe Bennett. Scribble, Thomas Lennon. Buck, Jeff Corwin. Morgan, Olivia Holt. Narrator, Gray Griffin. Robin, Kari Walgren. And Angelica Houston as Queen Clarion. Casting by Jason Henkel, CSA. Audio descriptions by Veronica Hicks at BTI Studios, London. Almost 700 people were involved in this production. Many of them were from the CG Prana Animation Studios in Mumbai, India. ADR recordist Jeanette Browning. Sound effects editors Martin Zub, Adam Copold. Sound editor Charles W. Ritter. First assistant sound editor Pernell L. Salinas. We will never be apart, so don't you fear. Dry your tears in a thousand years. I know that our love will still be here in a thousand years. Oh, so close your Music credits. Featured instrumentalist and additional score production, Blur. Music coordinator, Francis DeBain. Music business affairs, Donna Cole Brule. Score conducted by Mike Novak and Joel McNeely. Orchestrations by David Sionica. Orchestrations by David Sionica. Score recorded and mixed by Rich Breen. Digital score recordist, Adam Michalak. Music editor, Chuck Martin. Score music editor, Jim Harrison. Score recorded at the Newman Scoring Stage, 20th Century Fox. Score vocals arranged by Joel McNeely and Blur. Additional percussion, Joseph Siders. Score vocals, Blur, Catherine Postick, Joanna Bushnell, Maddie Diaz, Kelly Jones, Terry Coide, Susie Stevens-Logan, Kate Reed, Diane Fryman-Reynolds, Joseph Siders. Songs performed by K.T. Tunstall, produced by Blur. Lead vocals arranged and produced by K.T. Tunstall. Float, music and lyrics by Blur. Strange Sight, music and lyrics by Rob Cantor. Strings arranged and conducted by Stephen Liu. Strange Sight Reprise, music and lyrics by Rob Cantor. A Thousand Years, music and lyrics by Blur. Vocals produced by Blur and Katie Tunstall. Performed by Blur and Katie Tunstall. The filmmakers would like to thank D. Bradley Baker, Disney Research, Bernays Bird and Animal Rentals, Production Babies, Delilah, Gracie, Harlan, Juliana, Oliver, Viola. Copyright 2014 Disney Enterprises, Inc. All rights reserved. Distributed by Walt Disney Studios Motion Pictures. Created and produced at Disney Toon Studios, Glendale, California. Walt Disney Pictures is grateful to Great Ormond Street Hospital, London, to which Sir James Barry gave his copyright to Peter Pan in 1929. Disney Toon Studios and the Disney Fairy Tale Castle logo.